clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy, and I am your host. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning into SST on Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, and on YouTube. Joining me today, he's back. Welcome back, Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson's back. It's been a minute since you've been on Subway Sports Talk, but I'm so happy to be talking to you. Kyle, what's up, brother?
Nothing much, man. I'm so glad to be back, man. I've been itching to get back on the podcast, and I know I've been telling you, like, every time I listen to a podcast, I'm telling you, I'm going to jump on. I'm going to jump on. And that was probably now close to a year, maybe a year and a half. So, you know, people will say like, oh, yo, it's been a minute. Like, it's been like 3-4 minutes. Like, yeah. But, you know, I'm back. I'm really excited, man. Jump on. And happy you could have me, man.
It's been a few minutes for sure. And for anyone listening out there who's like, who's this guy who's back? Maybe we got some new listeners who haven't heard Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson. Can I say former NBA Outsiders member, because the NBA Outsiders have disbanded perhaps, but you've lived through transformations and you're still out here on Subway Sports Talk. And that doesn't mean that we don't love Duffy, Frank and whatnot, but you know, KJ's still here, still talking football and basketball occasionally. So don't sleep on that, but we're here to talk football. Obviously it's week one and we could actually say it's week one. Now we don't have to be like, oh, we're a week away from the season. It's week one. This episode's coming out on Wednesday. Opening night is Thursday. We're going to talk Giants, Jets. Kyle's going to give us some of his big thoughts on a team or two from the AFC and NFC. And Kyle, I do want to apologize. I wish I had you on for episode 2 weeks ago for our quarterback rankings, as I know that's near and dear to the heart.
Yeah, man. You know, me and quarterbacks, dude, especially, you know, now I'm not coaching this year. I don't know if I told you that, Petey, so I'm not coaching football this year. But I'm watching my brothers play, and my brother Derek is playing, so I'm able to, like, still watch some film and, like, can still stay sharp. And now at least I just have a lot more time to actually watch football games on Sundays now and Thursdays, whatever. So I'm looking forward to all the time I'm going to have. And I'm hope I can, you know, give you some better insight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, that is really the best thing. And people don't realize, right? Because you were a legitimate, like, varsity offensive coordinator. That ain't just a show up at 2:30. Let's do practice and I'll go home and be chilling. Like, that's not the role, right? Like, you're a varsity OC. You are plotting and scheming and meeting, and practice is long. You're meeting with coaches, meeting with players. Like, that's a real, like, undertaking, right? So when you get to now get that free time back, enjoy your brother's seasons. I heard they've been crushing it. It's huge. Like, before you've been on the pod, I think my boy Rocco Del Puri, my guy, head coach of Monsignor Farrell, during the COVID year did this podcast, and it was a great season for us. It was a great season to have him on.
Yes.
And then the next season he's like, bro, there's no chance. I could never do that during a season because I'm just too in it for football on high school level. So happy to have you. I'm sure
dude,
your squad's missing.
I totally get it.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing for everybody, at least for me, selfishly. So, Kyle, let me ask you this question, because all this offseason, people start talking about the big storylines, about the guys who changed, you know, new faces, new places, Aaron Rodgers, the Jets, and which teams are the juggernauts of each division, each league, and et cetera. Is there something that when you think about 2023, as we're days away, moments away from kickoff, is there anything that's kind of jumping out to you as kind of the overarching thing that you're looking out at when we talk about 2023 football from like a big picture perspective, if you will?
As much as there are teams that are at the top that you're like, all right, there's a lot of like contenders that are legit Super Bowl contenders. The gap between the Super Bowl contenders and the next tier is not a big gap. It's not as a big of a gap that people think, in my opinion. Like, when you think about the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Eagles, the 49ers, that's, I guess off the top of my head, those first four, I think that next tier is not far at all. And I think it's going to be so competitive this year that anybody, realistically, I think it's going to be like anybody can get beat kind of any week, and especially in the AFC, more specifically, because it's every team has a good quarterback. Every team can score. Now it's just based on like, all right, hey, can we get stops here and there? But for the most part, almost every team has like pretty good pass rush. Everyone has a comparable secondary where everyone is like, all right, hey, we can get a turnover, and then boom, there's a momentum. They can totally switch. So I think everything right now is just leaning towards like each week and each game is going to be very entertaining and it's going to be very competitive.
I think that's a great way to put it, because for all the past couple of years of expecting Mahomes in the Final Four and well, I couldn't say expecting Burrow for multiple years, but expecting Burrow and Allen to kind of be in the mix the past 2 years, like those teams are still there, but that does not mean it's as given that they will be the ones in that final battle heading to the Super Bowl, because the AFC North, for example, by itself is elite. Just those four teams alone, right? Like all four of those teams in the AFC North believe they are playoff teams. All four of those teams in the AFC East believe that they're playoff teams. And you can say that about a bunch of divisions. You could even say that about the NFC East. At least three teams think they're playoff teams. And I think the Commanders might think the same thing as well. Even if they're a little crazy for that thought, they might think that because of where they were at last year and what that defense can do. So I agree. And that's why it's so exciting to get into this week one and start talking about legitimate matchups and all that stuff, because we think we know, but as football fans, we get humbled frequently and we find out real fast who are the contenders and pretenders. And then it flips again about week eight, right? Like we think we're sitting here week six, me and Kyle Anderson on Subway Sports Talk, like, damn, man, the Bengals really fell off this year. They're not looking good. Like their O-line's banged up. They're going to stink for the rest of the year. And then all of a sudden they rip six wins in the final like couple weeks. Like that's, it happens every year. So we got to be ready for it. And we are, because it's exciting every single time. But let's talk about the Giants and Jets first. Then we're getting some other stuff. And Kyle, just for the people out there, you are a Giants guy. Giants fam. That's correct, right?
That is correct. Yep.
Okay. You paused there for a second and you made me nervous.
That's correct.
Giants fam. And I just need to know, because every Giant fan you talk to at this point, it comes from a different level. Where are you coming from right now, Kyle? Are you coming from an optimistic view? You coming from the pessimist? You think they can repeat the magic of last year? Where do you think the Giants are at entering 2023?
Honestly, I think I'm pretty optimistic. As much as, you know, we have the Cowboys and the Eagles kind of competing at the top of the division, I think that the Giants have a legitimate shot just because they've improved their weapons offensively. I thought their defense kept them in a lot of games, and obviously their running game was pretty strong. But picking up Waller is – I know it's like maybe one piece, and picking up potentially having Jalin Hyatt come along towards the probably like middle of the year, in my opinion, I think it's going to make a huge difference just for – those games where, all right, hey, the defense isn't really playing as well as they should. All right, hey, can we keep up with them in points? Now, don't get me wrong. Talent-wise and just like offensive power, they're not at the level that I think that everyone else is in the division, or even some of the other teams, like say the 49ers or even maybe the Vikings with some of their pickups. But I do think that they play the ugly games very well compared to some of the other teams that are in the conference. Like they want to muck it up. They want to run the ball. They'll take a shot when they need to and they convert. So I think that's what's in their favor. If the game is a shootout though, I don't think that's the kind of game that they want to play or the game that they can win. So.
And that's really the big question too, right? Of where they're trying to get better and where we need to see Daniel Jones get better at some point, because at some point he's got to start putting up some stats and throwing some touchdown passes. I mean, only 15 last year. Yes, he ran some more in. Do you see, and I don't need you to give me a super specific number on Daniel Jones here, but do you see this being a more high octane season for DJ? Do you think they finally put enough pieces around him that even if they can't, you know, shoot out with the top tier offenses, that they can consistently throw, you know, two touchdowns in a game? Because that's still foreign to one Daniel Jones.
Listen, man, I think with having another crack at it with the same head coach running the same plays, I think Dabo's probably going to open up his playbook just because it's another year with Daniel Jones and he's going to be more comfortable calling certain plays in certain situations that maybe last year he wasn't comfortable with or confident in, you know, with Daniel Jones. Now that I think he's seen his ability, I think he's going to open up. And the good thing is they have the weapons to do it. Acquiring Waller, I mean, Waller is a like a huge acquisition for them. And I think it's going to give Daniel Jones a lot of confidence. And also someone that maybe he, you know, if he does check the ball down and maybe doesn't drive the ball down the field, this is someone that can also catch the ball and run for, you know, 10, 15 yards and get another first down.
Yeah, and they desperately need that, right? Like, Hodgins was a nice story last year. It was so nice to have somebody who was a big-bodied receiver who was pretty consistent for the time being, you know, down that stretch at least. But now, like, Waller is just that times 10. Like, he's way better. And now they're talking about the possibilities of the Giants going for a Mike Evans. I mean, you could argue that the closest thing to Mike Evans in the league is Darren Waller, right? He's much more like Mike Evans than he is, you know, Rob Gronkowski or – you know, a traditional Freiermuth or whatever you want to go with tight ends. Like, Waller's a receiver. He's huge. He's fast. And he's awesome. And God forbid he's healthy. You can see in that preseason game the connection that DJ and Waller had. Like, that alone makes Hodgins real. It makes Wandell real if he's back. It makes Jalin Hyatt's deep threat that much more of a possibility. So I'm one of the biggest critics of, you know, the Giants inability to push the ball, right, and put up points quickly, because they've struggled to do it. Even last year when the offense was better, they just weren't doing it consistently, right? They weren't scoring a lot of touchdowns frequently, and especially not in the air. With this setup and with Jalin Hyatt and with us seeing rookie receivers make a serious impact every year, I mean, every year there seems to be, what, 4 to 7 rookie receivers who are, like, legitimate pieces of their core. You know, this group went from, like, the 30th ranked receiver group to maybe, like, the 18th to 20th, right? Like, is that a crazy jump? For them, it is. In reality, it's probably not huge. But for them to go from, like, one of the worst groups in the league to a group with serious upside, it has to show up now in the box sheet, in the box score. And I don't want to hear, oh, like, they're winning when it matters and Dable's pulling all the strings. Like, I still need to see DJ do more on a consistent basis for us to believe in this team. Because now we got a sniff, did the Giants fans. We know what it's like to win a playoff game. If they're sneaking into the playoffs every year, if they're still struggling to put up 21 points a game, I think there's going to be a point where we say, man, I don't know if we did the right thing with DJ. Not going to say that yet. But I'm going to think about it, Kyle. I don't know if you're in the same boat.
No, definitely. The fact that, you know, we paid Daniel Jones this much money, and obviously, yes, it'll probably make more sense once this TV deal is done and everything. You know, we've kind of got a quarterback for right now. But if we can't put up, 25 points a game in this with this contract, that quarterback – every fan has every right to question why we signed him and why we shouldn't be looking for the next quarterback, because this is a team that can definitely take the next step. And I'm not saying, you know, going to automatically go win a Super Bowl, but is a team that could definitely contend for one if there was a, you know, competent quarterback that could deliver the ball down the field and is a threat, because with this run game, it makes things so much easier. So he really needs to take that next step, and I think that's what every Giants fan should be looking for this year.
And when you see a guy like Hyatt, I do want to talk about him. You know, this is fantasy draft season right now. Everyone's in their fantasy drafts. I may or may not have had two this evening as we're recording here. But Hyatt's one of those guys. He's going late in drafts. He's got crazy upside. He is legit. But what is the realistic goals for him in year one? Is it to have moments, or do you think he could in year one step in and be, you know, a 60 to 80 reception guy with a couple touchdowns and tons of big plays?
I think it's going to be more moments, just because it seemed like he was just a little raw as far as, like, he's a straight line, like, you know, runs like a deer, but is still kind of figuring out, like, his — it's just a different speed, one, even though he's probably one of the fastest guys in the league. But I guess to process and run at the same time with a new playbook right now, he probably doesn't look great. But I think midway through the season or a quarter way through the season, I think he's going to get more comfortable, and I think he will get, you know, some opportunities to make some big plays for them. I think it's just going to grow with, you know, the amount of confidence that they have with what they see in practice. But at the same time, they need a guy like that out there because there really isn't a vertical threat that's in the wide receiver position that is at his stature that can go up and get a 50-50 ball. Slayton, as you know, as good as he is, there are days where you don't see him on the field. So it is good to have another guy like him that can go up and get a deep ball and can kind of take some pressure off of Slayton so he can run some of those intermediate routes that would be more open as opposed to kind of relying on him to run both intermediate and deep routes. That just really isn't his game.
Yeah, and sometimes you're right. It does take rookie receivers a little bit. Even if they have like a moment in week one or week two, they can have a lull, right? But there is that stretch of like week 10 through week 18 where all of a sudden you're seeing rookie receivers come out of the woodworks just putting up big, big games. And he's going to need to do that to keep them in a place of where they need to be from a passing perspective. From the rest of the offensive point, and we'll flip over to the defense in a second here, the offensive line was like such a huge talking point for them for years and years and years. And last year they finally got some competent play. And now some people are expecting some above competent play, perhaps out of this Giants offensive line. Do you think we can turn that page, Kyle, on where the Giants have been for the past 10 years of not being able to block us whole to now where they might not just be able to run the ball successfully, but protect Daniel Jones, give him some time?
I'm really hoping so, dude, because that's going to be the difference between, you know, say a year like last year where, all right, we have Barkley that was, you know, running out of his mind and, you know, Daniel Jones did have a little bit more time than he did in years past compared to, you know, from a couple of years ago where if you took a drop back as a quarterback, you had 2 seconds and, you know, make a decision and get or get the hell out of the way because you're going to, you know, you're going to get sacked. So it's definitely it was nice to see them make, like, take kind of some shots with the offensive line in the offseason and kind of put some new pieces in to get some competition going. Because we all know that even though we do have, you know, Barkley and he ran very well, Saquon and everything, there were some times where, you know, he just did Saquon stuff that just made a play out of nothing. And it's not always easy for him. So I think, you know, when you think about just in the division alone, we couldn't run the ball at all against the Eagles. You know, it was – that was – like I almost felt bad for Daniel Jones because it got so ugly. So when you're thinking about guys, teams within the division like that that have a front seven that can rush the passer like that, yeah, you have to improve it every year because there's always going to be, you know, kind of just a reload with the Eagles and the Cowboys when as far as getting to the passer.
Yeah, and we often talk about how the AFC is a level above the NFC from like a holistic standpoint. They have more great teams in the AFC than the NFC. But if we're talking about defensive lines, the NFC stands up pretty damn well. I mean, just in the division alone, Eagles, Cowboys, and Commanders all strong on the defensive front. The 49ers might be the best in the entire league. And like the Giants are going into those battles consistently, especially with the NFC East. And you're right. Like there's going to come a point where we start saying Saquon is doing everything he damn could. And he's still busted one out for 40, but it's not going to be good enough when, you know, you're three and out on the other drives. Cause you can't get a good push and you can't protect the quarterback. I don't want to say they completely turn the page because unfortunately their weakness is probably depth at O-line. It's not necessarily the starting unit, right? They should be solid at the starting unit, but there's a depth concern there. If Evan Neal steps up and is healthy and is better than he was last year, I mean, man, we're looking at a serious offensive line unit, but injuries happen and we'll see what happens there. On the defensive front, Kyle, actually, let me just ask you this. Is there anyone else on the offensive front that you might want to just call out? Any other receivers or anyone else who just kind of jumps out to you that you want to keep an eye on?
I'm curious to see what Sterling Shepard is going to do this year after, you know, returning from injury. I think it would just be another and also Wendell Robinson, just because as much as, you know, Waller's going to be a threat, Slayton's going to be a threat, potentially Hyatt. Now, all right, can we win in the slot? You know, because there's going to be a lot of one-on-one matchups and we're probably going to get a lot of man, you know, where they are going to blitz and, you know, try and challenge our O-line. Can we win in the slot where it's like, all right, hey, we have to win an option route. It's third and five. you know, can you get us a first down? So that's, I think those are only other two, since they're both coming off an injury and, you know, we just need a, just a solid slot receiver.
Yeah. If you can get like 16 games combined out of those two.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. It's just a, like, dude, just don't be, bar. Don't be hurt at the same time. Yeah. Yeah. Right. It is a very low bar.
It's a low bar, and it sucks because I think Giants fans, like, we all have been here seeing Sterling Shepard when he's on the field, and we go, this guy's like a legitimate NFL starting level receiver, very good slot, all around just solid, and we haven't been able to see it get put together because of the injuries, and it's tough, and hopefully he's back and healthy, and we'll see a real Sterling Shepard season. That'll be great. The other one, that's the hope. They brought him in, Paris Campbell, obviously a guy with good speed and just a solid receiver at best. Like, he's not going to, you know, win your fantasy league. He's probably not going to win games for the Giants, but if he can win moments for them, you know, that'll make it easier on Wandale and Shepard if they're still banged up. And obviously Bellinger, not bad. If we're talking tight end units, Waller and Bellinger is pretty damn solid. So yeah, we'll see what they can do. On the defensive front, though, I want to start in one place because I think everybody knows that Dexter Lawrence is legit. Big man got paid. He deserved it. That's great. I think people are still excited about Adoree Jackson and Xavier McKinney. They got Deontay Banks and as a rookie here. But the big question to me, the guy who can be the game breaker, who can put this defense on a little bit different of a stratosphere here, is Kayvon Thibodeau. That guy had big time moments last year. Obviously, in his first game, he got the sack. He got better as the year kind of went on. What's the ceiling for this guy, Kyle? Is he somebody who we can talk about with the, you know, Chase Youngs of the world and then maybe beyond and get to the maybe not the Micah Parsons and the Boses, but in that upper echelon pass rusher where we're looking at him and saying, that's our 15 sack a year guy, chalk him up. He's going to give quarterbacks hell.
Yeah, he has the talent and he has like the motor. And I think there are times where you kind of forgot that he was on the field last year, especially just a couple times in the beginning of the year. And I honestly just think it was just rookie woes and just kind of learning on the fly. But when he, you know, really was on and dominated like that, you know, that Commanders game last year, when he just completely took over the game, if he can bring out, you know, kind of, I'm not expecting that every night, but if he can have performances like that on a consistent basis, this defense is going to be totally different. And I think he, like you said, he is the X factor, because I think that the defensive line is pretty solid. I think the inside linebackers are pretty solid, especially grabbing Simmons, a guy that you can kind of put anywhere on the field. McKinney in the back end. And I think the only real question mark might be, you know, their slot corners, but I think Adoree Jackson will be back and healthy. So Thibodeau is really just the guy that really needs to anchor that defensive line as a pass rusher, because pretty much on the interior is pretty locked up. So he's really has to take advantage of his one-on-ones, take advantage of his one-on-ones and really dominate when it's time to dominate. Cause they will be in some third and long situations where he's going to have to take over.
And last year for the Giants defense, I mean, overall, they were bottom 10 in yards per play. Not very good. But they were much better against the pass last year than they were against the run, at least relative to, you know, league standards. And against the pass, they were top 10. And against the run, they were second worst. I'm sorry, not top 10, but they were about 13th against the pass, which is pretty mediocre. But against the run, they were giving up the second most yards per attempt in the NFL. So when we talk about the Texans can't stop a soul, the Packers can't stop the run, the Lions were getting run all over, the Chargers couldn't stop the run, the Giants were in that conversation. They were winning and playing above their heads, so it wasn't really a concern at the moment last year, but it could become one this year, and that's where, you know, Sexy Dexy's got to earn that money. Leonard Williams got to continue to be a dog inside, as well as some of the other guys that they got up front. This defensive backfield, though, obviously exciting. You know, still feels weird after Byron Jones left, when he was such a key component to their defense being solid. And now they bring in Isaiah Simmons, Kyle, a guy who we probably talked about way back when we were talking about drafts, because he was such an exciting prospect. A pretty strange start of a career for Isaiah Simmons. Comes to a Cardinals team that has some excitement. They have their quarterback, so they thought they have a chance to compete in the NFC West. He racks up tackles, but there's some people out there who said there's not really a spot for him. You got to move him around. And then all of a sudden he's traded for nothing to the New York Giants, and Giants fans are saying, holy hell, did we just get a dude? So Kyle, did the Giants get a dude in Isaiah Simmons?
Oh, they got a complete steal. Complete steal. For a seventh-round pick, I was shocked. And I think he's going to fit perfectly with this defense because they do blitz the linebackers a lot. And I do think that's why Blake Martinez did wind up getting cut, you know, last year, just because he's more of a read and react guy and not really a great blitzer. And Isaiah Simmons has like a pass rush game that, you know, they were putting him at the end at times, you know, with the Cardinals and when he was in college with Clemson. So the fact that they blitz their linebackers and this is the guy that we pick up, that's like a steal because he literally fits this defense. He fits Wink's like defense perfectly. And he's somebody that, again, can be a game breaker where we really haven't had a great linebacker in a long time. And how many times do we beg the Giants to draft linebackers? And I know they like live and die by up front and, you know, anchoring that defensive line, but it would be great to just have a great linebacker that could clean up, you know, all that mess after it gets out, which, you know, before Blake Martinez got hurt and before we got this new staff, I felt he was that guy. But since his defense has changed and now we have a D coordinator that does like the blitz to linebackers a lot, picking up Isaiah Simmons for a seventh round pick, I thought was, you know, the perfect steal.
Yeah, the price was a no-brainer, that's for sure. Even if it doesn't work out, there's like no skin off the Giants' back. But you're right. If there's one defensive coordinator who would love to have a piece like that, it has to be Wink Martindale. And is he going to be in the slot? Probably. Is he going to play some traditional linebacker? Probably. Is he going to play some safety? Maybe. Right? Like, this guy's going to do a lot of different things. Going to be one of those guys as a fan you're going to have to get used to finding on the field the first couple weeks, right? Because he's going to be all over the place. And it's going to be exciting. I think that this is a fit. I think if you asked me about Isaiah Simmons before he was traded, I would have put up like this weird like shrug where I said, I mean, I know how talented he is, but I've never seen it, right? It's not like I'm tapped into Cardinals defensive possessions like over and over again, but we haven't seen a ton of splash. We haven't seen like game wrecker stuff, but you get glimpses every once in a while. So I would have been feeling weird, but at this price, I mean, it's literally a no-brainer, and there's a chance now for him to become who we thought he was when he was drafted because he was such a highly touted prospect. All right, to close out with the Giants here, obviously the division is such a big part of this whole thing here, Kyle, and it's probably the best division in the NFC is the NFC East. It's a tough schedule. The Giants had an easier schedule last year. So now with the Eagles and Cowboys, do you think the division's out of the question, right?
I agree. No, yeah, it's out of the question. I think they're fighting for a wild card position, no doubt.
And with that being said, I believe the Cowboys and Eagles are both better than the Giants. Is that something that you could agree with?
I agree.
So that being said again...
yep. yeah.
How do you see them competing, though? So, like... Right. Eagles are going to have a better record. Cowboys are going to have a better record, according to most people and what we both believe as well. But how do they compete week in, week out with them? When they go to Philly, they go to them twice towards the end of the season. Obviously, Dallas week one. I forget when they play in week two. I think it's like 13 or the second time, week 13 or something like that. Do they compete with these guys? Even if they're not going to compete from a record standpoint, head to head, do you think there's a better chance for them to look like they're on the same field as the Cowboys and Eagles this year versus last year?
I think so, just because, again, like we talked about, they did go out and get some more offensive linemen. That was kind of just their Achilles heel when it came to playing the Eagles and the Cowboys. I do think that offensively they can compete with the teams that, you know, those two teams that can score a little bit more than the Giants are typically, you know, ready to go head-to-head with. Don't get me wrong, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be tough. But I think that's the good thing about the NFC East is that you're always bound to get a couple upsets. Like the games that you think are a lock usually are not. So I think that's something that's in their favor. Like the fact that the Giants have the Cowboys at home for their first game you know, Sunday night against the Cowboys, which typically they don't get. They're typically on the road against Cowboys opening the season. So to get that game at home, Sunday night football, that's going to be huge for them. And I think they should take advantage, you know, of the atmosphere. I would definitely, if I was a better, and I'd sprinkle a little bit, but I'm not too successful. However, but if I was the bet, I would definitely take the Giants this weekend just because of the atmosphere. It's 9/11 the next day, which I think, you know, just New York in general always gets up for. So I think that could play a little part in it. But I think just having a home opener, you know, primetime home opener, I think will go a long way for the Giants.
And they are +3.5 on that home opener Sunday Night Football. And we got used to seeing them on Sunday Night Football like every year in the opening week. And it kind of sucked because we weren't very good. So every year, you know, you still get your hopes up every season. And then you're like, all right, we got the Cowboys on opening night. We got the Packers on opening night. Like, oh, great. Like a team that we cannot hang with. And we think we can, but we can't. We're going to find out real quick. This year should be different. The only problem, Kyle, Dak Prescott hasn't lost to the Giants in like 9 games. It's like he's when Dak,
and like,
when
Dak's just starting, like, of all just people, tough. You know, it's like it's of just of all people. Like, how can we not beat Dak? Like, I also, you know, that just made me immediately. Do you remember that game? This is maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago. They had the Cowboys beat, but like they're up like 14 in the fourth quarter, and somehow Dak makes like this miraculous comeback at MetLife, and you know, they beat us, and it was just a year where you're like, oh, dude, we're horrible. And, you know, this is like almost like a feel good moment. And Dak just comes in and just like ruins the day. And it just hasn't, they haven't had Dak's number, which is like difficult to kind of wrap my head around just because of the amount of opportunities that Dak gives defenses in games. And we just cannot like capitalize. And I'm hoping that this is the year. Trust me, I'm hoping this is the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're catching Dak with a new, you know, with Mike McCarthy behind him, the first game of the year. So hopefully this is the one we steal. But, yeah, I don't know what that deal is, man.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, the Eagles just demoralized us in the playoffs last year. The Cowboys basically did their own version of that throughout the season. And, yeah, it's going to be tough facing them every year because their strengths are specific. Like, they're going to get after your ass on the pass rush, and they got DBs who are ready to pick balls off, right? Like, it's a good combo for them. Yeah, everyone makes fun of Trayvon Diggs for giving up the most yards in the league. He also has 17 picks in his first 3 years, right? So it is a give and take, but a lot of times they take whatever the hell they want, and that's what they do. And that's why I like the Cowboys to win the NFC East actually this year. That's a different conversation. But what is a part of this conversation, Kyle, do the Giants make the playoffs this year? I don't even need you to predict over under 7.5 or whatever the hell their number is right now. You think the Giants are a playoff team this year or not?
I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to say yes just because I am not that confident about the rest of the NFC compared to the NFC East. And I think the NFC East is going to beat each other up, but I think they're also going to do very well against the rest of the conference, just because of how weak the NFC South is. The NFC North is going to be wide open. The NFC West honestly is kind of weak. I really can see a lot of, like I said before with the NFC, but just more with the AFC, I'm sorry, but I think just the NFC there, it's very top heavy. And I think the Giants are really in that second tier. So they could really, I guess they can beat anybody, but they can lose anybody also.
Right. Yeah, and I'm kind of with you. I think if you start looking at it, you have your division winner, so you got four teams right off the bat. You got three wild cards. I'm giving one to the NFC East. No matter what, Eagles and Cowboys, in my eyes, guarantee playoff teams to me. So whoever that's going to be, however you want to skin that, fine. So now there's two wild card spots left. The teams that you're competing with now are the Seahawks, if you assume the Niners win in the West, and then whoever doesn't win out of the Lions, Packers, and Vikings. And then also in the South, whoever doesn't win out of the Saints and Falcons, maybe they're in the mix as well. But look at what we're talking about here. We're talking about teams that not really that many people have faith in. I think if you give a confidence meter to those teams that aren't going to be likely to win the division, You're looking at the Seahawks. You're looking at the Vikings and the Packers and the Falcons. Why are the Giants not the top two in that list, right? I think that's a very, very good argument to make for them to be with the Seahawks is probably my way I would skin that, with the Vikings probably right behind. I'm not a big Packers believer at the moment, but we'll have time to figure that out as time comes. So me and Kyle both think Giants sneak into wild card. I think they're the last wild card, though. I do think the Seahawks are pretty solid. Their weapons are just so crazy. They drafted really well this year. I think they're going to be just as good, if not better, than they were last year. Well, let's move on to the Jets, Kyle. Talk about some New York Jets. Let me ask you this first. Have you been watching Hard Knocks?
Oh, damn straight. I love Hard Knocks, man.
How can you not?
Yep.
So
it's great, dude.
As a football guy, which I will call you all through and through, football guy, what jumped out to you just in like those first two episodes, whether it be about Rodgers himself or about the way the team kind of reacted around Rodgers? Is there something specific that jumped out to you about the Rodgers of it all in New York?
I think the first thing that kind of got me was just like the energy, man. Like every player that, you know, was either having a side conversation, like waiting to get a rep, or whether it was, you know, Robert Saleh talking to the staff, everyone was buzzing about Aaron Rodgers. And I think they kind of all understand and also feel the excitement as opposed to like maybe the pressure that they actually have a quarterback that can go win them a game now. You know what I mean? Like a quarterback that can take them over the top from compared to last year. Because I'm sure everyone in that building probably came into that year, or at least into that year, or at least in the middle of that year, thinking like, dude, if we had someone that could just put up a couple points on the board, we could be, you know, this would, our record would flip. You know, we would be 10-7 instead of 7-10. So just the fact that they know that Rodgers is there, it really looked like everyone in that building is kind of like, all right, it's put up or shut up. Like, dude, we finally got him. Like, let's do it. You know what I mean? Like, well, and I think you heard the defensive coordinator, like, you know, the defense said a bunch of times, like, yo, we got number 8. Like, we got Rodgers. Almost like, yo, we're playing with house money. You know, we're going to do our job. The offense is going to do their job. I don't see us losing. That was that kind of confidence and that kind of like swag that they had. And I was like, yo, man, they're going to be a tough team to play this year.
Yeah, and that was a clip I know exactly what you're talking about, where I guess on the practice tape, the defense was watching. There was like a nasty ball to the deep corner of the end zone, and there was a catch over the defense. And he was like, listen, there ain't more than 2 or 3 quarterbacks who are making that throw. We did everything we could right there, but thank God that guy's on our team, right? Like, I'm glad you went there, because that's exactly what I was going to say. It was overt, too. They didn't hide it at all. They didn't even sugarcoat it to make Zach Wilson feel better, who's still in town. They didn't make Joe Flacco or Mike White feel any love at all. They were just like, Quinton Williams literally looked at the camera like first episode. It was like, thank you for coming to save us, Aaron.
Yeah, that was great.
They weren't being sly at all. Like, there's other defensive players who are like, yo, Aaron Rodgers is cool as hell, and he's also nice. Like, and they call him 8, which is also cool. It's like 8 is cold as hell, and he's cool too. Whatever they told you on the media, that ain't true. He's cool as hell. I'm like, wow, I liked Aaron Rodgers already, and now I'm just getting, you know, reimbursed right now on what I already felt about Aaron Rodgers, about how misportrayed he's been at times in the media. Because, again, the whole narrative leading up to the season of, oh, can Aaron Rodgers handle the New York media? Like, are you kidding me? Aaron Rodgers is the number one guy in the NFL who doesn't give a damn about the media, right? Like, you can think he's getting flustered. Never once have we seen his game actually fall down because he's been getting criticized. If you want to say last year, go ahead and say it. He also had a hurt thumb. He was just over Green Bay. He wasn't over the Green Bay and national media, right? So that thing was all baloney to me the entire time, and I'm happy to see he's kind of getting some good flowers here. And some would argue, as I listen to this, like, oh, he's such a loser. He's mad annoying. Like, get him at it. Like, there's probably people who completely disagree with us, but I think we're on the same page.
No, yeah, definitely. Because just the way that he, like, kind of carried himself. And I don't know if you heard, like, recently he was saying, like, oh, yeah, man, I was talking to one of my friends recently. Like, and it's just, like, feels like a dream. And I feel like – I think he – appreciates the love that he's getting from one, his teammates, and just from, like, I guess his appreciation. I feel like he didn't feel that he was maybe appreciated or respected. And I guess I'm just making this, you know, assumption just on some of the comments. And like, it really seemed like he kind of just, like you said, it was just, you know, just had enough, like needed to get out of there. And I think he's just breathing, you know, kind of this energy and confidence into the team. And I am positive that he sees it as well. Like, you know, he can see that, you know, these guys are, you know, these guys are rallying around me, and I've only been here, you know, a couple months, and I have this team now, and you can see his confidence and kind of his energy. Like you said, it did seem like he was coming off, even just some in his post game comments, sending like cryptic messages about, like, you know, how the draft went and, you know, what play calls should be made. You haven't heard anything about that. And I think it's just because he's around guys that he wants to be around. And he's got his OC, which he's, you know, is one of his, you know, apparently one of his favorite coaches. So he's really confident. And I can tell, like, he's almost like falling in love in football again, which is obviously great to see with someone that's that at his age.
So let's talk about some of the people who he's going to be utilizing on the offensive side. It's almost a little bit of the opposite of the Giants, where the Giants don't necessarily know who's going to be catching the ball and running the ball after Saquon. The Jets have a good idea of who's going to be catching the ball and running the ball for them. It's going to be Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Tyler Conklin, Breece Hall, Dalvin Cook. Like, they got that pretty good over there. They know who's running routes and who's going to be a part of this offense, except for the offensive line, which is the question mark. Now, as a guy who's played quarterback and who's coached offense at a high varsity level, the offensive line, to you, is this an overcomable, that's not a word, an over, I don't know what word I'm going to say here, but you know what I'm trying to say. Is this something that Aaron Rodgers can help fix himself, is my question. Do you think this is something that will continue to be a thorn in their side? Do you think A-Rod and Hackett, if you want to give him that, can actually hide some of their weaknesses up front?
I'll tell you this. I think there are ways as a quarterback that you can kind of protect your offensive line. And I think they kind of shown that a little bit, or they did show that in their preseason game with the Giants, where they were getting some pressure, but they were getting the ball out quick with just certain reads that they were making and just kind of some of the leverage that the defense and the guys on the perimeter were giving them. Like if you saw like that one time they had like pressure, and I think they probably had a run call, and I think Rodgers gives like an alert call and then throws just a quick laser to Wilson, and he gets 12 yards. Like that is a nice, like, just blanket for your offensive line where they don't have to do too much, and it's just literally just snap the ball and get it out of your hands. The only problem with that is, in my opinion, is that they're not going to be able to go down the field now when, you know, there's an opportunity. Let's say they try to get the ball out quick, and now it's 3rd and 9. Can you protect for that long? You know, your play calls as an offensive coordinator do shrink a little bit, you know, when the yardage gets a little bit longer. So I think that's one thing that I would be worried about. As an observer, is just, okay, yes, you can probably run the ball and, you know, you have the backs that can get you 3, 4, 5 a clip. But when it's, you know, push comes to shove, can you make a play on 3rd and long because of your O-line play? And I'm not really confident about that.
It's going to be the big question mark. Basically the whole time that we're watching the Jets offense, if they're not cooking, and there seems to be a lot of times where Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball away, because that's something we know he'll do, right? He's not going to take sacks. He's not going to throw it up for grabs. You know, he's going to throw a ball where his guy can catch it or no one's catching it. That's what he does. We've seen him do it for 15 years now. And that's going to be a big question mark the entire time. And it doesn't help that they're in a division with some elite defenses as well. I mean, the Patriots, Dolphins, and Bills have 3 top tier level defenses. The Patriots were only remotely relevant last year because their defense was so good. The Dolphins have game breakers on defense, and the Bills, even with some question marks about where they were at last year at different times, they still netted out as a top three defense on DVOA, right? So that division is brutal. Their schedule is going to be really tough. So those questions will continue to be asked until we have answers for better or worse for the New York Jets. And now let me just ask you about Garrett Wilson real quick. We'll talk about the defense and move on. Garrett Wilson, to me, you look at what they were at, what they had last year in Green Bay. People really like Christian Watson. People like Romeo Doubs. People love their running backs. But nothing clicked last year, right? They couldn't get it going. Whatever it was for Aaron Rodgers, they just were not getting it going. Garrett Wilson is not a nice second-round selection like Christian Watson. Garrett Wilson is a guy who put up starting-level, Pro Bowl-level numbers with nobody's playing quarterback. Do you what's the ceiling? Is there a ceiling you're putting on Garrett Wilson this year? Do you think he's going to be somebody who lives up to the bill?
He's a bad man, dude. Like he runs some of the best routes that I've seen from like a second year, you know, wide receiver. Like he really can get in and out of his breaks like really well. And once he catches the ball, he can go. That's the other thing. Like he's really good like after the catch. I mean, in this offense, the good thing is, like we were talking about, since they have depth at the running back, they have depth on the other side with Lazard and Cobb, and he's going to get a lot of one-on-one matchups, in my opinion. And I think even though he is the best, you know, probably receiver on their team, and, you know, I'm sure he will get a little bit of, you know, a bracket over the top with the safety, he runs – pretty much every route in the tree where he's not like a kind of a one or even two dimensional guy, you know? So I think there are going to be several ways to get him the ball. And I'm sure if Hackett does a good job, he should really just be moving him all over the field just so it's not, he's strictly, you know, out wide. You know, you can motion him to the slot. You can line him up in the slot, run him across the formation. He could be a top three receiver in a league, no doubt.
And yeah, it really is special because he can do it all. And Christian Watson, not to make this like a bash Christian Watson moment, because I think he's very talented. You're right, though. Like, what is he good at? He's good at going, and he's good at like some short, give me the ball and see what happens. He's not catching like crazy digs and comebacks and outs at 15 yards down the field. At least we didn't see it. Right? Like Aaron Rodgers didn't have the trust for it. Everyone's hyping up their receivers now. Oh, they're going to be top guys. Watson, let's get him in fantasy. He's going to put up numbers. Those two guys combined for 80 catches last year, right? Let's not pretend that they're going to roll into this season with a rookie or first time starting quarterback. And they're both going to put up 80 catches. Like this is not DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Like this is different. Garrett Wilson is different. So I'm excited to see what the hell he can do. And that group around him is really good. And the O-line is really a question mark of health. Is Mekhi Becton going to play football? Vera Tucker back from injury, right? Like they could be okay. They could be serviceable there, but that is the big question. But Kyle, the big thing for the Jets, man, this defense might be crazy good, like crazy, crazy good. Dexter Lawrence, Jesus, Quinnen Williams. I combined confused my New York interior lineman there. Quinnen Williams is just unquestioned right now as a top dog in his class at that position. They got some other dudes there. Do you think this defense, we're looking at like a good unit, top 10, or do you think this unit can push and legit be like top three, top five level?
They can definitely be a top three, top five, man. And, you know, every defense, they always say, oh, it starts up front. All right. If you really go through that, you know, DN to DN, you know, from, you know, their five technique to the three, to the one, to the five, there are not really many holes. And the other problem is that they're deep, you know. It seems like, at least just from watching Hard Knocks, I've been able to watch, you know, and actually, like, pick up on who some of these other linemen are. And I'm like, dude, like, who's the guy Tarvell or –
McDonald?
I'm screwing up his name. Not McDonald, the guy on the inside.
Tanzel Smart.
Tanzel. My dude, who is this guy? I was like, dude, he's like has some of the fastest like get offs I've ever seen. Like he's just in the backfield almost every play.
He's a big dude, too.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Like I'm like, you have him, you have Quinnen Williams, you have McDonald, you have the other edge rusher, you have the rookie that's come in now. It's like, dude, where – okay, yeah. All right, the D-line, the D-backs, you know, you got Sauce and Reed. You have
it's crazy.
You have the, you know, Mosley. Like, it's like almost you look for holes Mosley. In that defense. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're looking for holes in the defense. You don't really find them. And when you have – again, you know, people like kind of take it for granted, but when you do face Aaron Rodgers every day in practice and you do have that matchup of Sauce and Wilson going at each other every day in practice, you're going to get better. And there are – it's very tough to find other duos in the league that are, you know, better than that duo right there. You know, so they're going to be well prepared. And it's, again, the fact that they have a competent offense, I think is going to affect their play calling now. Cause now listen, dude, you got it. You got to score to right. compete with us. You know what I mean? Now you have to throw the ball. So now we're going to pin our ears back and come and get you. So I think, you know, that D coordinator is going to have a lot of fun, but that this defense can be really special. And just because of the amount of opportunities they're going to have, cause a lot of teams, there's a good chance a lot of teams are going to be playing from behind.
Yeah, and they got like one of their big offseason acquisitions for the back defensive backfield is Chuck Clark, and he's on the IR, and it doesn't matter. Like, they're still so good yeah. at every position. And to go back to the D-line for a second here, the way ESPN has it listed, at least, I don't know if this is going to be 100% accurate. I'm sure it's all different packages and et cetera. But Solomon Thomas, Jermaine Johnson, Will McDonald are not even starters for this team.
Yeah, I was about to say, Jonathan dude, I forgot Thomas and Johnson. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah,
it's oh my crazy. God. So Carl Lawson, Quinnen Williams, Al Woods, and John Franklin Myers, those are the slotted in starters. But then you get to mix in some crazy speed rushers, Solomon Thomas, who's just a dude who's a veteran who gets the job done. Like, man, this defense could be so fun. It was fun last year to watch this defense, and now, you know, it could be elite. And I think a big thing for them, a lot of people said, oh, they didn't turn the ball over last year. They didn't sack the quarterback as much as they should have last year. Well, those are two things that actually often regress to the mean, right? For all teams across the league, if you have a high turnover variance in 1 year, there's a chance you might not get, you know, 15 interceptions again or whatever the numbers are, right? So I think there's a chance for this defense to not only be great, but to also be turning the ball over consistently, getting points for this offense. And that's something like Aaron Rodgers just hasn't had in a long time. He hasn't had a defense that stood up to the test the way he's had in years past in Green Bay. And now he's got it here in New York. So,
and you know what, Pete, defensively, like if your offense isn't putting up a lot of points, there's a good chance that, you know, they're probably just running out the clock and just like, you know what, we're just going to keep them off the field. We're going to make the defense tired. We're going to run the ball, you know, and take a shot on second and short. But for the most part, we're just going to run the ball, keep their team, you know, keep the defense on the field and, you know, lengthen these drives. So there's a good chance that there weren't any opportunities for the defense, you know, and they just didn't get them, you know, to get turnovers or interceptions like that just because, you know, they didn't need to throw the ball. So I think that's a possibility right, too. Right. You know, you know, they're going to get a lot more opportunities this year just because they're going to be up, you know, with a lot of points on the offensive side.
And that goes for, that's such a great point by you. It goes for both sides too, right? Like the Eagles, for example, last year, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts all put up like really good numbers, really good, but there's a chance they put up better numbers than the team's worst this year. Cause they did not have to play a fourth quarter seriously, like the entire season. So that, like, go look at Jalen Hurts' fourth quarter stats. They don't exist. He never had to throw the ball, right? So he could easily put up more touchdowns this year, more yards this year, and they could be worse. And that's something that's weird, but it's true. And similarly for the Jets, they can give up a few more touchdowns this year. They can give up a big gash play, but they might also be turning the ball over at a 20% higher clip, and their defense will be better, right? So that's a great, great call by you there, Kyle. Let's talk Jets on the playoff front. Similarly to the Giants, they're not the top dog in their division. Some people think they have a chance, unlike the Giants, to win their division. And they got some teams also think that they're playoff teams. Between the Bills, the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Patriots. Do you think the Jets got what it takes, Kyle, to make a playoff push this year? And if so, how do you think they get in? Do they get the division or do they get a wild card?
I think they're going to get a wild card. I don't think they're going to get the division just because I think just Miami coming back and getting the same team back is going to be tough. And the Bills too. You know, I think once the Bills get Von Miller back, that defense is going to be completely changed. It seems like everything is ironed out with Stephon Diggs, you know, from the off season. But I really think that they're going to beat each other up, and not that the Jets aren't going to go in and get a wild card or not make noise. I just don't think they're going to win the division. But with that said, this could also be a team that, you know, might catch fire late and get hot at the right time. And now they're, you know, a sixth seed playing a higher seed, and that higher seed would not want, you know, any smoke with them that first round. You know, I think whoever they get matched up with, I would be pretty pissed off just because the talent, like we just talked about, the, you know, on offense and defense, and just having Aaron Rodgers at quarterback who's been experiencing that kind of moment before, I would not want that situation. So I think they're going to – they might not win the division, but I think they'll get in and they'll definitely make a run.
And the weird thing about what you just said there is I think that every team in the AFC might think that no matter what, right? Like we talked about the Giants competing for wild card spots with the likes of the Vikings and the Seahawks and the Falcons and the Packers. The Jets are going to be fighting for wild card spots with the likes of the Chargers, the Ravens or Bengals, the Steelers and Browns, the Dolphins and Patriots. It's like, oh, that's a little bit different, right? So whoever comes in second in the AFC is going to be like, hold up. I just won 13 games in my division, but didn't have the tie break, so I came in second. Don't get a bye. And now I play the Bengals in week one? Like, what? Like, that's bullshit. Like, oh, great. I got the second seed, and now I get Aaron Rodgers and this Jets defense in the first round. That's awesome, right? It's no matter how you skin it, it's going to be a brutal showing for every team in the AFC once they reach the playoffs.
Yeah, they honestly, I think it's going to be a race for first place now, you know, for that one seed, because if you don't get that one seed, like we said, who would want to win their division? And then like, oh man, we got a home game. Awesome. All right, cool. All right, who we got? All right, we got the Jets. Wait, huh? Like, after all we just did, like, you know what I mean? Like, dude, we ran through the regular season. Now we got to play the Jets. Like, we can't play like, you know, the Browns, or, you know, we can't play the Texans. Like, nah, dog. Like, you got the Jets now. And that's, I would not want to be in that situation. And as confident as I would be if I was Patrick Mahomes and, you know, all right, we got the 2 seed, we'll play the Jets, I still would not want that just because anything can happen in the playoffs. And that's someone that I would not want my defense to see, you know, in that first round.
Yeah, no chance, bro, especially when it starts getting cold out. If they start running the ball, if Breece and Dalvin Cook are both kind of cooking a little bit, oh my God, it's going to be
– yeah.
It's going to be tough to play them when it's cold out. That's for sure. And Aaron Rodgers has some experience in the cold as well. All right. Well, that's some Giants and Jets talk, Kyle. We got to finish up with some final thoughts on some big things that maybe are interesting to you there. I've done so much. Here's my thing too. I've done like 6 NFL previews in a row. So I feel like I've gotten, you know, 95% of my takes off my chest. So I want to let you cook here, and I want you to go wherever you want, either conference, just 1 or 2 things. Start off with 1 if you have 2. And then just hammer it, whatever's interesting to you that you're going to be having a big eye on once we start up in a couple of days.
Cool. Yeah, man. I'll start off with the AFC, man. I think the Jaguars are going to be a team that I'm very interested in and that can really make a run. I could definitely see the Jaguars potentially in the AFC championship game. And the reason why, I just think they're going to run through their division. So there are going to be probably 6 wins right off the bat. The Jaguars picking up Calvin Ridley, I think, is like semi talked about, but I think it's a lot bigger than people think. just because he's such a legitimate number one outside of receiver. And now Christian getting ETN, you know, and then also getting Ingram, that's going to, you know, really a lot of confidence from last year, bouncing back from kind of just like a rough stint with the Giants. He really looked like just an explosive weapon for them that they used a lot and kind of leaned on. So having just that mix of offense and having that defense come back, that was pretty tough last year. They could definitely be in the AFC Championship game. After how they played the Chiefs last year as well, that they had a very good shot of beating them. Like, it wasn't like, oh, they, you know, they had a good first quarter and then they got kind of rolled. Like, they looked like they played pretty competitively against the Chiefs. And then my second team, I'll let you jump in there. My fault.
All good. I got thoughts though. Cause I don't know if you heard, but I also am high on the Jaguars this year. So shout out us.
Let's go.
I'm with you that they're the best team in the division. A lot of people are really hyping up the Titans now again, making me a little bit nervous, not going to lie, because the prospects of Tannehill playing, you know, even 14, 15 games puts them in a chance to compete for the division. I'm not going to deny that, but I agree with you. And the number one thing that I think people are kind of not realizing about this Jaguars team last year, if you look at like all the advanced statistics about pass rushing and getting after the quarterback, they were great. Their pressure rates, their knockdowns, their hurries, like all that stuff was top tier, top five, top 10. Even some of them were like top two level stuff, but their sacks did not translate, right? So they were getting as much pressure as the Cowboys, as much pressure as the Eagles, and just getting like half the amount of sacks. If that regresses to the mean and they get a normal number of sacks, which last year they were like lower third, and you shouldn't be lower third when you're top two in the NFL for pressure rate. Like, that just, those things don't add up at all. So if the offense getting better with the more weapons, I love Calvin Ridley as well, and that defense can put some pressure on the quarterback, which they did in those big moments and down the stretch in the playoffs there, and made Patrick Mahomes, who was banged up in that game, made him run and made him boogie. Like, that was a serious Jaguars defense we were watching there towards the end of the season and in the playoffs. So those two things combined, I am with you. I took them on the over-under. I took them on the alternate over, and I hope I don't regret it. I hope we don't regret this take. So let me hear your NFC take.
All right, man. The next one I have is the Bears, actually. I'm very interested in the Bears. And the reason why I think we're getting a lot of chatter about the Lions. We're getting a lot of chatter about the Packers. And obviously the Vikings, who, you know, won the division last year for the first time in a while. But I think the Bears are very sneaky just because they picked up DJ Moore. Obviously Justin Fields is back for another year. Darnell Mooney, who's going to be back, Khalil Herbert. Just offensively, I think they have a lot of potential. Cole Kmet, they have a lot of potential to really put up a lot more points than they have in the past. I think Justin Fields will probably develop more as a passer just because I think he knows that he can run now. So now it's just kind of developing a little bit more in the pocket. But I also think just defensively, they picked up a lot. Speaking of the Jaguars, I'm probably going to butcher his last name, but I do remember this dude being a stud for them was Yannick
Ngakoue.
Ngakoue. I'm about to say I said it with like a question mark. But and then picking up Tremaine Edmonds from the Bills, like those are two key pieces up front that they were kind of missing just because their D-line was horrendous last year.
They were desperate for some defensive help last year. And then they traded Roquan Smith on top of it.
Yes, exactly. So that was rough. So picking up Tremaine Edmonds is huge for them. And I think that division is wide open, dude. Like, they have a lot of potential to kind of potentially sneak in that last wild card spot, you know, if I'm being honest, just because the Packers, I wouldn't be confident in, you know, just everything that went on after last year, Jordan Love, and I know they have the receiving core, but what can Jordan Love do when, you know, the game's on the line? I guess it's really just from lack of exposure on my end. So I'm kind of just like, you know, unsure. Can Kirk Cousins deliver a second year in a row? You know, the Lions are going to be tough this year, but, you know, losing Jamal Williams and losing DeAndre Swift, like, Can they bounce back with Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs? Like, asking a lot out of a rookie running back. So those things considered. And also, you know, after – I didn't really consider this, but I don't know if you know. I don't think I told you this, but my boy, all right, my O-line coach, my O-line and D-line coach at Woodbridge is actually the assistant D-line coach for the Bears.
Oh, let's go.
And he's there now. Yeah, man. Coach Hines, my guy, Coach Justin Hines. He's been there for – this is his second year now, and he's killing it. But I think with the weapons that he has up front now, I think he, you know, he can do his thing and kind of cook up a little bit for that defense.
I'm glad you brought the Bears up, because I told you I got like 95% of my takes off my chest. And I probably haven't talked about the Bears very much, because it's so easy to be like, yeah, they're towards the bottom of the NFC North. It don't matter. Like, what, whatever. But you think about this NFC North, I personally don't have faith in Jordan Love. I personally don't have like runaway faith in the Lions, even though I do think they're going to be at a floor at least decent. The Vikings, I think their floor is like 7 games probably. If the Bears get to 8-9, like, hell, there's a chance. They might not make a wild card, but they can win a division. I mean, we saw a division last year in the NFC have a winner without a winning record, right? Like, the NFC North could be in that same realm. Like, God forbid the Bears sneak out, Fields is throwing some better passes, all of a sudden they're, you know, 6-2 somehow to start the season. Their schedule's pretty easy. I love it. Like, why not, right? Like, everyone's kind of just saying, oh, Fields can't throw. It's over. He can't throw. They didn't even want to let him throw last year. Okay, he's thrown well in college. He threw extraordinarily well in college, to the point where people weren't even saying, oh, this guy's going to come in and be just like a star running quarterback. People were like, nah, this guy's got a hose. He made big-time throws at Ohio State. The only knock is that his receiving core at Ohio State was better than his receiving core in the NFL. Right, that was the big knock on him, and now he's got some guys that he can play around with there and have some fun. I think they're going to be much more exciting than people expect, and I don't think it's going to translate to wins, though. I think that's lofty, but I love that take, because people are just saying, yeah, Fields doesn't have it. Pick him in fantasy because he's going to run for 120 yards a game, but he's going to throw 12 touchdowns this year. Now, sneaky, threw some touchdowns last year with nobody playing receiver, even though he only attempted like 15 passes a game. It is what it is. There's room for him to do something. I love that.
And you know what I'm thinking about too? I, you know, since, you know, we're talking about it now and just, you know, me thinking, I honestly think that the Bears can take the step that the Lions took last year. You know what I mean? That's really where I'm seeing it at. And since it's like so wide open. Correct. Yes. A year ahead of schedule for sure. Just because of everything that we, you know, that we talked about. And also just kind of the state of the rest of the division. Like, it's just not strong, you know, and not really confident in, like, you know, where that division is going. So I feel like it's definitely wide open. But if any of the teams that could potentially, you know, could surprise some people just based on talent and, you know, newly acquired pieces, it would definitely be the Bears.
I love to see it. I love to see it. Any other team that you just want to shout out real quick that you think is going to be good this year? Any other hot takes you want to get off to, maybe? Anything, just random, quick. NFC North. Who do you got?
I think Brandon Staley. Who do I have? NFC North.
AFC North.
I'm sorry. Oof. I think I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Man, we are way too aligned right now. We're way too aligned right now, bro.
You too.
Yeah, you too? I'm with the Ravens too. And guess what? I've been with the Ravens every year. They don't let me down, per se, because I think there's been legit reason why they haven't put the icing on the cake yet. But this year feels good. I love what I'm seeing. Some people getting scared off because of some injuries in the defense. That ain't nothing they never dealt with before. That's what I'm saying.
Every year they always have a D-back that's hurt, and somehow they always figure out a way.
Yeah,
yep, 100%. Every year.
And I'm ready to see Zay Flowers and Lamar and Odell and Mark Andrews go to work. Go to work.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see Lamar get an opportunity to pass more, because I think he hasn't been able to in the past, like where he's able to like push the ball down the field and kind of hit some intermediate routes along with his running game. I think the offense and the pass have kind of just been the foundation has been his running game. So I'm excited to see him kind of just sling it, man, and then use his legs, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what he's probably wanted right, for the past couple of years, and he hasn't been able to because DeMarcus Robinson was the best receiver on the team last year, and Devin Duvernay.
Yep.
And now Devin Duvernay is like the fourth receiver on the team. It's a huge, huge difference. It's like the Giants.
Yeah,
it's like maybe they didn't go from 30th to fourth, but they went from 30th to 20th, and that's a huge jump for them. But yeah, you were about to say something about Brandon Staley?
Oh, no, I think Brandon Staley might get fired this year.
Oh, he's done.
I think this is the year. Yeah.
Oh, he gone.
I don't, you know, I'm not one to come up after somebody's money or, you know, positions or anything, but I just.
But
like,
if I had to.
I feel like this, but if I had to, if I had to say it on, you know, on wax, my man, I just don't know if he's ever been fit for this job, especially after last year losing, you know, 27-0 lead in the playoffs. I just think with the amount of weapons that they got this year in the draft and what they acquired, like, in the offseason, if they don't get it done this year, and just knowing that, you know, Herbert is about to be up for a new contract, they want to get that done. And just like, you know what, we need to go in a different direction. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. No, this is it. This is it. I think the biggest thing for Brandon Staley's job is if Kellen Moore can put in work and make this offense look like they should have been looking for the past 2 years. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Because yeah, definitely.
This offense has just been not what it should have been, and it was still pretty good. And if Kellen Moore comes in and Herbert's looking like an MVP, Staley's going to get another year, maybe three. You know what I mean? So
no, he we'll definitely will.
But yeah, so we'll see, because it could go the other way very quickly as well. If they're still losing it on fourth downs for no reason, if they're still running completely conservative play calls on first and second down, and then Staley's got to go. It's time. See you later. All right, Kyle, this was great. A little technical difficulty, but that's all good. Ain't nothing we've never dealt with before, but that's okay.
That's a fact.
But the takes were on point.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it, dude. And, you know, thanks for having me on, man. Really appreciate it. You know, it's been too long, so I'm glad I can get back in the mix. Hopefully I can get more consistent and try and jump on throughout the year, man.
And now give a shout out to Lil Bros, because they deserve it.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, man. I'll keep you posted on the stat line, Pete. Last week, they had a pretty good game. Unfortunately, they lost 46-36 to Summit. But Derek had a big day. Brian had the better day last week when they played Old Bridge in their opener. Brian had two touchdowns, like a fumble recovery for a touchdown for 60. Seven catches for 75, four tackles, two pass breakups. He had a big day. Derek had a touchdown, and then Derek this past weekend had like 315 in the air, one rushing touchdown, two passing touchdowns. Should have had three. He had a like a kind of a wide open drop.
But his brother dropped it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, honestly, if he did drop it, trust me, I definitely would have said that. Like, yeah, Brian dropped it. I'm saying it. But for the people
listening at home, Derek and Brian are twins, and they're both studs on Woodbridge, and they're killing it. Quarterback, receiver, DB.
Yeah, man. Yep. They're juniors.
The Spice Adams depth chart. But
yeah,
running back. Yep. Quarterback.
Exactly. Every position, I could do it. Put me out there. Yeah, man. So they're doing well, dude. Yep. They got a big one. They got a big one this week on Friday against Linden. So Linden's undefeated, so they'll be back at home. So it'll be a big one, man. I'm looking forward to it Friday night. So
hell yeah. Tell them I said good luck. Yeah, and to shout out my guy, since I'm wearing the shirt right now, Farrell Football Home Opener.
No doubt. Shout out Farrell, well. Baby.
That's right. We don't have to even hate because we don't ever play each other, Woodbridge. Yeah, exactly. And Farrell. It's all
supporting
love.
Everybody. That's it. Maybe a all little, love, man.
Maybe a little 7-on-7, and maybe they run into each other here and there. But that's, about,
oh, no
that's
doubt.
About it.
No doubt. Yep.
All right, Kyle. Thank you, bro. I will talk to you soon. NFL starts Thursday. It's freaking time. We made it to NFL season 2023. Week one is here. Go Giants. Go Jets. Go NFL. It's fun. Kyle Anderson, Subway Sports Talk. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, rate, review on your podcast app, YouTube, everywhere you listen to podcasts. We appreciate you all. For tuning in. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.